much about. You gotta put it into perspective.
I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the tests we take each Friday on what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday before we've learned it. But since today is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest. Pencils ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Spock, sabotage the system. Spock, restore the atmosphere. Spock, sabotage the system. I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock.
Okay, do you have line 193 again with sabotage?
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
I must say I don't care much for your insinuation or your tone.
Shut your face!
And now...
Honestly, I wish I was more sober right now.
Our feature presentation.
Haven't we all been there? Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:36. It is Tuesday, the 8th of July.
Oh, dear God.
And I got to tell you, Darren Rovell, or Rovell, is my new hero.
Really?
Yeah. He has started putting in self-serve beer machines. Self-serve.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it would be like a Slurpee machine, but it's beer?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's on tap, but I think it's maybe canned. I don't know.
Okay.
But you basically could just go up and you can go to a machine.
Like a vending machine.
A vending machine and just get beer out.
Really? Where does he put
the machines? I need
that
at my house. Where does he put them? In major league ballparks, baseball. Like some really, he's kind of a heavy hitter in the concession world.
Yeah.
For sporting events.
Pretty smart.
Yeah, no kidding. He's got 7 arenas. He's got 10 baseball stadiums, 7 arenas with NBA and NHL fans, and several NFL stadiums.
That's so, really smart.
Coming soon, self-serve beer.
We have room for a vending machine.
We do. We actually will make room.
Yes, we will.
We'll throw a beer mug right the hell out for that, if we could get a beer machine.
That'd be cool.
I need one of those here. I need one of those also.
Did you have a granola bar this morning?
Oh, my God. I fell asleep by 12:30.
Oh.
Maybe 1, and then, you know, you keep looking at the alarm and you go, man. It's going to go off at 3:50. That's going to suck.
That hurts.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
While I try and track down the beer machine, which I do need in my house. Funny man Brad Williams, comedian.
He survived, too.
He survived Brazil.
Shocking.
He was one of the 4 of us that went to Brazil.
Yeah.
And we were all worried about, you know, I don't know the Brazilian culture. I don't know. I've never been to South America.
Right.
So who knows how they're going to treat him? So a conquering hero. Oddity, you know, send him in, you know, kidnap him, put him in the circus. I don't know.
Go bowling with him.
He's a hero everywhere he goes, every single place he goes.
But is that because they think he's somebody else?
It could be because he does look just like Wee Man from Jackass. And a lot of people would say that. They just walk. And by the way, what a terrible person to look like. I love Jason Acuna.
Yeah.
But people stop Brad on the street and just go, Jackass, Jackass, Jackass. Anybody that doesn't know that they're talking about Wee Man, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
You don't want to get stopped on a street in a foreign country and be called a jackass. So anyway, we have him coming in today. We have Petros Papadakis coming into the studio talking about the NBA and all kinds of different stuff
going
on. There are a lot of huge moves coming in the NBA. I mean, LeBron James might change teams.
Oh, really?
Carmelo Anthony from New York might change teams and maybe even come into the Lakers. So who knows what's up with that? The poo is back. I didn't want to have to announce this early, but...
Oh, the K-Rock poo?
K-Rock poo's back. Oh, it's not just the K-Rock poo.
It's really the city poo.
It's L.A.'s poo. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but for some reason, there's a pipe, and it comes up out of the ground on the premises here at K-Rock. And it is sort of an air vent for Los Angeles' sewage.
It's right by our front door.
Yeah.
You walk through a wall of
it's literally,
LA poo.
It's literally
in the door.
Almost impossible. Like, it's so gross.
Yeah. And then I think of the fabulous people that we have come in. Like yesterday, Chris Carter had to walk through poo.
Right, exactly.
That's embarrassing.
You're asking them to get up early, come in to promote whatever it is they want to promote, and walk through poo. That's too much.
And it's not just there, though. And it's seeped into the bathrooms again.
Sure.
And now it's in the bathrooms in the back, and there are people threatening to leave.
It goes in
and not come back.
Omar's studio. He gets it pumped in there.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, but the other side of the building now is worse than our side of the building.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've never been in a single building anywhere in my entire life where the city sewage is pumped pretty much right into your lap. That's the strangest thing ever.
We are not exaggerating.
We're not.
That's the thing.
I wish we were. I wish there was some way we could get...
send a smell-o-vision or something.
I need an app. I need to create an app called Smell This. That's what I need.
That's perfect.
And then you can capture the scent and other people can take a whiff. It's, well, you can imagine. It's not good.
Yeah.
And they are threatening to not come into work. So,
why didn't we think of that?
I don't know.
By the way, we've been living with this for like 3 years.
I think we're just used to it.
I guess.
You just walk through and you just feel like, wow, does that suck?
Yep.
And then you get inside and you sort of hope it goes away and then it's not that big a deal. But it's getting worse and I'm not exactly sure what we can do about it. Hopefully nothing because it's driving Lightning out of his mind. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. This is the world famous K-Rock, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, how about a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of a brand new movie called The Purge Anarchy? You saw The Purge. You know what this is all about. It's that one day a year in the United States where no laws, whatever you want, just go nuts, have a good time, see you tomorrow, which is fine unless you're trapped in your car after it broke down in the middle of the purge.
No!
Dun, dun, dun!
Sorry, not quite ready.
No, I'm surprised because you sound good, Sean.
I do. Try it again.
We are giving away passes to our K-Rock screening on July the 15th at the AMC Burbank 16. If you don't get tickets, don't worry because The Purge Anarchy is in theaters everywhere July the 18th. But if you'd like to go, how about right now? 1-800-520-1067. Call that number and we'll give you a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of The Purge.
Too soon?
Too soon? Too soon?
You want to just call today?
Too soon?
Should we just,
yeah.
What's this?
I will.
Let's just throw on a best out for a Brady Bunch episode or something. We got something in the copper, don't we? It's got to suck to be a superstar when everyone is watching your every move. And photographers are waiting to take a picture of you in every possible, especially embarrassing moment.
I've always thought that. You know, you look at these celebrities a lot of times, you go, what's wrong with them? Don't they know they're being watched? But if you were watched 24/7 and people were taking pictures of your life, your personal life, that would suck.
And the everyday stuff that happens to all of us when it happens to one of them, well, it becomes more than mundane. Brad Pitt, for example, was in a restaurant in West Hollywood, and a waiter, perfectly innocent accident, dropped a drink on his lap.
That sucks.
Now, unfortunately, the water stain didn't dry before the end of the meal. So now you're Brad Pitt. You need to leave the restaurant. Paparazzi are waiting outside, and you've got a giant wet stain between your legs.
Yeah, but you're Brad Pitt.
Yeah, but you still have a giant wet stain between your legs. I think because you're Brad Pitt,
yeah.
You walk outside, they're going to go, oh, look at the golden boy went pee-pee in his pants. So the restaurant was kind enough to sneak him out of a kitchen entrance so he could hop into a car and avoid any unwanted pictures of his damn crotch in the tabloids.
Because
you know that'd
nice.
Be everywhere all over the internet. Look at Brad Pitt, pee-pee pants, seeing himself. Clint Eastwood was pretty hip for 84.
Yeah?
Now what?
But he apparently does not keep up with any social media lingo, surprise, surprise. Reports this week, an excited fan met him in New York City and asked for a photo. He agreed to take a photo, but she said, oh, I want it to be a selfie. I want to be a selfie. And he had no idea what the term selfie meant and flat out refused to play along with whatever she had in mind.
Really? Just thought she was making fun of him somehow?
He didn't know what the selfie was, but he didn't want any part of it.
No, thank you.
And he killed her.
What?
Shot her right in the head.
I don't think
44
that
Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world. Could blow her head clean off.
Just a movie.
She had to ask herself a question.
That's just a movie.
Did she feel lucky?
Right.
Well, did she?
That's just a
punk
movie.
Another day, another Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. This time the honor goes to Lisa Rinna, the giant-lipped one. Will now be a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills on the popular reality show. Here's the surprise, though. RadarOnline.com is reporting that she chose that gig over a gig on The View. You know, they've cleaned house over in The View, and they're looking for new people to put in there. And she apparently was one of the people on the short list to join the cast of The View, but she decided to do Real Housewife of Beverly Hills instead.
Hmm.
That would seem a dumb choice.
Yeah.
And also a lot more work, because for those reality shows, they got to shoot 10 to 1 in terms of getting an hour of programming. They got to follow you around with cameras all day long. The View, you show up, you go to work, you talk for an hour, and you go home.
But one requires her relocating, right?
Was that the problem?
Is The View in New York? No, The View is out here in Los Angeles.
Those in New York.
Hmm.
Okay.
Who knows?
I don't believe so.
All right. I'll believe you before I believe me.
Well, you make a wise choice.
I'll just back right down.
That's my policy as well.
And talking about The View, how about The View with Sarah Palin? Sarah Palin has made clear her desires to be a member of The View.
Oh, so they're not considering her so much as she's considering
them. No word from The View, but we have heard from her, and she definitely wants to be on there.
No! No!
She's already got another season of her show on the Sportsman Channel. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. There's a Sportsman Channel.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I think she, like, guts animals and stuff.
Yep. Oh, good.
Yeah, you're right, Lisa. What? On Amazing America with Sarah Palin, she goes out into the wilderness and kills animal with her bare hands and eats them raw.
That's a thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, something.
She's got some travel show.
That's so weird.
Anyway, she told The Hollywood Reporter she's interested in hosting a talk show. She is nothing if not confident. She said she would like to provide mainstream cable with the real-life groundedness, candor, and common sense that I'm known for, she said.
Okay. Hmm.
I hear everyone recently got canned from The View, she added. Maybe a show like that needs a punch of reality and a voice of reason from America's heartland to knock some humble sense into their scripts. You know, someone willing to go rogue. Listen. How was she ever a vice presidential candidate? What the hell?
I don't know.
That was
close.
She's stunning. So, maybe she's on The View.
How was George W. ever president, for God's sakes? I mean, that's the same thing.
Well, at least he had some qualifications. He had been a governor and things.
Hey, she's seen Russia, man. She's seen Russia from outside her house in Alaska.
She's an endless stream of inanity. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jaden Smith. I'm going to take that name right off the list.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Please do.
Excellent.
Let's not reinforce that at all. Actress Sophia Bush is 32.
All right.
Robbie Keane of the L.A. Galaxy. Oh, Kevin. Oh.
He is awesome.
Robbie Keane. He's 34. Actor Milo Ventimiglia, or Ventimiglia, depending on who you talk to, is 37. I'm assuming it's Milo. Dave has written here Miko. Miko Ventimiglia. I don't believe there's a Miko.
It is funny that somehow we rely on him for spelling and for pronunciation.
And for correct birthdays.
Two things that he cannot do.
Beck Hansen. He's 44. Actor Michael Weatherly from CSI or NCIS or PDQ or BFD. No. He is 46 years old. Billy Crudup, the actor, is 46. I'm pretty sure it's Billy Crudup, not Billy Cudup, as Dave has written here.
All
right.
Yeah.
All wrong?
Yeah.
Dave's on fire.
Toby Keith is 53. Actor Kevin Bacon turns 56. Angelica Houston is 63 years old. And actor Jeffrey Tambor. Is there anyone funnier than Jeffrey Tambor in Arrested Development?
He's awesome.
I say no, sir.
He is awesome.
He is 70 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I went to Brazil. Just told you that story a second ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph went to London and was on his way back from a vacation and was on a plane and some people boarded. Ralph, who boarded?
I was there sitting down. And they always do this last minute when they have any sort of high-profile celebrities on the plane. Just before the door closed, in come the Osbournes, Sharon and Ozzy.
Oh, wow.
Now, were you at first excited because living legend, you know, the whole thing?
Yeah, and to see them together and sort of joking with each other and bickering and stuff, it was like watching an unseen episode of the Osbournes. They were just going at it, and they were just adorable. They were the two of them in these little black bags they were carrying, and they had a third person with them, looked like a personal assistant, something like that.
An Ozzy handler.
Ozzy handler, yes, pointing him in the direction of a seat. This is a seat,
right.
Ozzy. You sit in it.
Bend your legs.
And so they are getting ready, and they're putting away their overhead bin luggage and stuff. And these two small bags, they open them up, and they each pull out a Pomeranian.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, having seen episodes of the Osbournes before, I know they've had problems with these dogs. Primarily, there was one, I remember in the first season, I think it was, it just kept pooping everywhere in their home.
And they didn't even try to stop it.
No, they say, oh, look, oh, Fluffy did it again. Yeah. There is another little pile of Fluffy.
No training, no nothing. They didn't bring in a specialist, nothing.
No, they just had poop-filled carpets.
We're just fine with it.
And they were just fine with it. And I remember all of us going, oh, that's disgusting. Why don't they do something about that? So now I'm in an enclosed tube with wings for 10 hours.
Yeah.
Sitting a row away from what I'm assuming is going to be just a little poop machine for the next 10 hours.
Oh, that's not good.
And these dogs were on their laps the whole time. They were watching movies and eating dinner and everything, and the dogs were sitting on their laps. And I said, this is going to be a nightmare because a dog, I have a dog. My dog has to go to the bathroom more frequently than every 10 hours.
How long? Oh, 10 hours, yeah. Wow,
and it's a 10-hour flight, no, you know, nonstop question. From London to L.A. And yet, stunningly, I did not see one poop sighting and one pee sighting with these dogs.
That's crazy.
They may have been robot dogs. I'm not sure.
That's kind of amazing.
It was stunning. I didn't know how they did it.
For any kind of dog.
For any kind of dog. I had no idea how these dogs did not relieve themselves at some point on that plane. And I was fascinated because how are they going to handle this if this dog starts going to the bathroom? And it never happened. I don't know how they either hit it or trained the dogs not to, or they put a cork in their butts or something. I'm not sure what happened.
We have Ozzy on the phone.
If
you want to talk to him, find out his impressions of being on that plane. Ozzy, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, who's this?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean Show!
Yes.
Phone for you, Kevin and Bean.
No. We're calling you.
I don't think they're here right now.
We're calling to talk to you, Ozzy.
You're Ozzy?
No.
Hello, Ozzy. I'm a big fan of yours.
No, you're Ozzy, but you're the person that we want to talk to. We're Kevin and Bean.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
I'm Ozzy. Sharon! I'm Ozzy Osbourne!
I think she knows that.
Yes.
A lot of dogs there, Ozzy.
We have 74 Pomeranians. Or two. I can't remember.
Two, yeah.
Sometimes I confuse. I keep counting them over and over again.
One of the people that I work with, Ralph Garman, who does the showbiz, was on a flight with you a couple of days ago coming back from London.
Hey, Ozzy, I was on the flight with you when you and Sharon brought the dogs onto the plane. I was coming from London to here in Los Angeles, and you were on the same flight.
Yeah, we just... Black Sabbath, who performed in Hyde Park for 4th of July.
Right.
So I had to come home.
Right.
Afterwards. And the only flight I could find was a plane.
The only flight you could find was a
plane.
That's
all. That's
how it works.
That's how you fly,
that's the only option, I think.
I don't think there's a hot air balloon or anything.
So I came, and we always bring our dogs with us because we have 74 dogs.
Right.
Or two.
But I was wondering, Ozzy, how did you had the dogs on the plane for 10 hours? How did they not poop or pee at any time during the flight?
Well, I had the dog in my lap.
Right.
And Sharon had the dog in her lap.
Right.
And we just put our hands under the dog.
You put your hands under the dog?
Yeah, when the dog's got to poop, you just put your hand under there.
Oh.
Then you just put it in your pocket.
Oh, gross!
I've got rubber-lined pockets on my coat, and then just put it in the pocket.
Doesn't it smell terrible?
My dog? No, it smells good. He's got no nose.
No, I'm saying your coat must smell just horrific.
Well, let me see. I've got the same coat on. Let me put my hands in my pocket here.
All right.
No, Ozzy, don't.
Probably
I wouldn't.
A bad idea.
No. There's poop in my pocket!
Yeah.
You put it there.
Yeah, there's poop in my pocket! I think I pooped in my pocket again.
I don't think
did.
No, it wasn't you, Ozzy. You said the dogs did it.
When the dog poops, I poop in my pocket.
That's a terrible plan.
But then I throw it out the window.
Well, you can't really throw it out the window. It's an airplane, Ozzy.
That's what they told me when I opened the door. They were very upset with me.
You opened the door in flight.
Yeah, I was throwing the poop out. And they said, you can't do that. I said, well, it's too late. I've already put the poop in the window.
You already put poop what?
In the window.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I threw the poop out the window.
You threw the poop out the window.
Oh,
okay.
No, I think I threw Sharon out the window, too. Sharon!
Oh, God.
I threw you out the window.
How could you get Sharon mixed up with poop?
Well, you haven't seen her without makeup.
We have a tiny issue here at K-Rock. We're located in Culver City, Compton adjacent. And for some reason, the plot that we're on, the land that we're on, has
it's an ancient Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
We're being haunted by poltergeists.
All
or poopergeists.
All of Los Angeles' sewage goes underneath our building.
Yes.
Why, how? We don't know.
Poopergeists.
Okay. And they do have a couple of pipes that are supposed to relieve some of the pressure, I guess.
The gas,
so that but,
probably the methane gas.
But they come up right on the property. One of them is right in front of the front door.
Yeah, the poop chimney.
Yeah.
So when you walk out, you almost fall over.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Smells like life.
So we've tried many different things, and apparently it's getting worse. We have Lightning on the line now, who we're going to talk to. Hi, Lightning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Lightning, of course, used to be the producer here of the Kevin and Bean Show. Now heads up our digital division, the website and all that kind of good stuff. And for years, we've been complaining here in the studio side of the building because the poop smell goes into Omar's production office where he's doing all our production stuff in the studio.
It's almost comical, that one, though, because it's bad elsewhere. But
at least it's airtight in there, so it's soundproof.
It's
so
concentrated. It's like somebody took that pipe and just rerouted it right into his studio.
And we've heard smell in the hallways outside our office. The bathrooms are always, something's always backing up in there delivering something. But no one cared because, it's just the on-air talent. Screw them. They're, we're in the money-making side of the building over here, whatever, with those poor guys. Now what's going on in your side of the building, Lightning?
Well, now we've got an issue over near the sound space and near where the sales department used to be and the conference room and in the engineering office, because it smells like a Coachella porta potty after day number three.
It does. It's unbelievable.
It's pungent.
Now, when did this start on your side of the building?
Well, it's weird. It's been going on for about 3 or 4 months, but very kind of infrequently. And it would be in the morning or late in the afternoon, and it would only last for maybe 15-20 minutes, and it would literally float. They're like pockets. And we thought it was definitely...
What do you mean it would float in pockets?
It was strange. I can't explain.
Ghost. It was like a poop ghost.
Yeah, we... It was the poltergeist, as you said.
The poopergeist.
We thought it was we have our own set of restrooms, which are actually the nice restrooms, as Kevin knows, because he uses ours.
Yeah.
Right? And so we thought it was the vent that took the smell up from the restroom into the attic and out in the air. And we thought it was just being vented wrong and back into our building somehow.
Right.
So we sent Jay, our maintenance man, up onto the roof, and he found out that at one point there was the vent from the restrooms was venting into the air conditioning intake.
Yeah.
What?
Holy crap.
So the vent... The vent of the sewage,
the poop vent,
was tied into the air conditioner.
Was pointed towards the intake of the air conditioner.
Yeah, so it's like God was farting into our air conditioner.
Unbelievable. That's the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, I mean, it was smelling like Godzilla ate a field of asparagus and taking a dump on our air
conditioner. I think we understand.
It was poopy smell. We got that. You turn on the air conditioner to get some cool air and you get a blast of... Arctic poop.
Yes.
Now, by the way, played the Troub last night. And
they are good.
Yeah.
I've heard that you're threatening to work from home. Is that true?
I am at home today. Yes.
What? He's at home today.
It was disgusting.
Wait a minute. Your house smells better than K-Rock does now? I find that hard to believe.
Yes, it does. So he fixed that situation. We changed the venting and the whole thing. So that was fine. So we went another couple weeks. Great. No smell. But then we walked in through the back door and...
so to speak. Is that a euphemism?
So where all the kids, when you're waiting in line to get into the sound space.
Right.
Which is this beautiful, pristine area with all of our gold records and stuff hanging.
Mm-hmm.
And you're smashed with this like someone had been smoking a butt hair cigar, you know?
Butt hair cigar is also a good band.
Yes.
So now we've got this whole other issue, and it's in a different part of the building. And we're thinking, all right, is this some kind of, like you said, methane coming up from the ground? Is there a crack in one of the sewer pipes? Is it seeping through? Because how can it be in a different part of the building, nowhere near the restroom?
Right.
I don't know, but I'm happy. I'm happy it's on your side and not ours as much.
But it's moving. It's
yeah,
not
it is.
Just over near the restrooms.
It's got a life of its own. It's the smoke monster. It's the poo monster.
I can't figure out what's happening here. It smells like a pair of Doc's boxers after he ran a marathon.
So
how long has this been going on now, like? The steady poop.
About 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks.
Right before I went on vacation. So I came back from vacation to this smell.
Do any other businesses in Southern California have to deal with this? Like, why is there a vent pointed right at us?
I think there's a colonic clinic in Burbank that also has this smell problem.
Unbelievable.
I can't explain it.
You talk to the powers that be, what's the plan?
Yeah, you're on the side with the suits. Now action will be taken, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. They're looking at getting an actual plumbing contractor, not just a dude in a set of overalls. They're actually looking at getting a guy who builds like high rises or something to come in and, you know, get one of those cameras that go down in the ground to see if any of the pipes are cracked and see how our venting is going to go. So I think something is going to happen now because, you know, on our side of the building, we have another division that you guys probably don't know about, some people that actually sell, like, advertising and so forth.
Right. They make the money.
And actually do wear suits. And there's some women over there that were just holding their noses all day. And you know what?
Imagine having a meeting with a client. Hey, come on over. Yeah. Oh, sure. We'll show you around. We'll sell your product.
Right. That has happened where clients have come over. And we're over there with K-Rock air fresheners. We pass out those cherry flavored
wearing around your neck.
That hang from your rearview mirror.
My God.
We're over there with air fresheners, fanning them into the air. Go, please. And then, God forbid, someone tried to use Febreze, which just made it worse.
Yeah, that does.
Pungent.
That does make things much more complex.
That's bad news when you have, like, a pine cone scented poop.
Yeah. It's horrific. So I think this is the... the beginning of the end. Something has to be done.
Oh, so finally it happens on your side of the building and everybody's going to fix it.
Let's be honest. They care about the digital side.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
were there people threatening to walk out and not return to the building until it was fixed?
Well, I did.
And you have, apparently.
And he has. He's at home.
Yeah. And there are some other people. Yeah. I mean, the poor people, the salespeople on our side are bummed. Yeah.
We've seen a lot of problems come and go. Well, not so many go, but most come. Our company is not fast at this.
Is there a timetable?
This could be a 2-year process.
I'm thinking 30 days.
You're so cute. That is so cute that you would think they would fix this in 30 days.
Oh, no, I don't. I think that they're going to Band-Aid it. I think if the issue is what is serious and there's a broken pipe under the building.
Right.
It's one of those things where they have to come in and they have to tunnel under the building,
yeah.
Put the building's foundation up on jack.
Excavate. Yeah.
Sweet.
Excavate, exactly. And as if you're moving a mobile home or something, and then change piping underneath.
If you cover the smell with duct tape and send it back our way, I'm going to be very upset.
I'm going to do my best to route it right into your nostrils.
I say we just call it a drone strike and call it a day.
I like it.
Start all over someplace else.
Clear out the building.
Just raise
level
it.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Let's have one of those ceremonies like they do in Vegas when they take down an old casino. Let's just blow it up. And we'll all watch from a distance and have a party.
Although with the methane gas, it might just actually be like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, poop typhoon.
Just give me some warning so I can run to the hills.
Nope. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:56. Coming up at the next hour, Petros Papadakis. And a guy who, this is the most bizarre thing ever. He started a Kickstarter campaign so that he could get money so that he could make potato salad.
Sure. Well, it takes money. First of all, potatoes ain't free, brother.
His goal?
Neither is mayonnaise.
His goal? $10.
Right. I think he needs $10 to make some potato salad.
So far, he has raised $36,000.
What?
For potato salad.
That's nuts.
Thank God all of our financial worries are over because...
I've seen people on Kickstarter saying... I lost a lung. I need a machine to help me breathe so I can raise my family of 14 children and take care of my elderly parents. I need $900. They have like $3 on their Kickstarter.
Yeah.
This guy wants potato salad and he gets $36,000.
$36,000.
Come on, America.
And there's still like 25 more days. It's absurd.
I hope he does something right with that money.
He's going to make a lot of potato salad.
The biggest bowl of potato salad
ever. Yes,
he
is.
Before I get into showbiz news, I want to thank all the people who are sending in some very kind messages to me and my buddy Kevin Smith about our comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. Issue 2 is in stores
right now. It dropped on the 2nd of July. The first one sold out, by the way. They're going to have to do another run of the first one, which is awesome. But the first comic book, we did a live special performance of the book. Kevin and I read the book out loud, and we had music and sound effects, and there was a party, and everyone had such a good time, we decided to do it for each issue as it comes out. So this Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose at 8 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are going to perform live issue 2 of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet. I do a ton of the voices. I do, of course, Adam West as Batman, and I do Sean Connery as the Green Hornet, which makes no sense whatsoever.
But it's a good voice.
But it's a good voice.
Funny.
We for Kato, his Japanese sidekick, we didn't want to do anything stereotypical.
Right.
So I don't do a Japanese accent. However, we did want to use an accent, so I do Arnold Schwarzenegger as Kato.
As Kato.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets a little silly. But we have a great time. Come on out, 8 p.m. Saturday night. Get your tickets at improv.com. And everybody who shows up gets a special collectible edition of the comic book that Kevin and I will both autograph for you. So.
No!
Except for that guy. I think everyone will be there.
No!
Madonna had jury duty yesterday. She showed up on time at the courthouse in New York City. Why do they make celebrities go through this?
I don't know, because don't they just then excuse them?
Well, they wouldn't sit her in the general population area of the waiting room for jury duty. They put her in a special room by herself, and she sat there for hours, and then they came in and said, you know, if you were on a jury, that would be an undue distraction.
Right.
It would distract from the case, so we're going to excuse you from jury duty. So why did we even go through the process?
If I'm her, that's what I'm saying. Why am I here?
I admire and applaud her showing up, like any good citizen should, but really, that there should be some point at which they say,
you knew beforehand that she's not going to be
still Madonna. Yeah, she knew. Earlier that morning, she was still Madonna.
She's nobody's peer.
Gavin Rossdale, as if he doesn't have enough love from the female species, as if they don't love him enough. Now
right.
He's got another reason to be beloved by women everywhere. Of course, he's the lead singer of Bush and the perfect husband to Gwen Stefani, and he's dreamy, and he's good-looking, and he's ripped. But now, over the holiday weekend, he apparently swam out into choppy, dangerous waters to save their pet dog, Chewy, a tiny Pomeranian who got caught in the surf off the beach. The dog started to drown, and Gavin swam out to him and saved him. Saved the family pet over the weekend.
All right.
He's
take
better.
It easy.
He's the perfect.
All right,
he's the perfect
you're great.
Man.
Okay, we get it. We're bad, you're good.
This is a disturbing story. This I know, I get it. It's America, and you can just sue about anything, but this guy's a douchebag. Apparently, there was a baseball game on ESPN. I don't know if you heard about this story or not. Baseball game. 26-year-old Andrew Rector, I hardly even know him. He fell asleep during the baseball game. Completely understandable, right?
Yeah, it's boring as hell.
Right. Baseball commentators Dan Shulman and John Kruk had a camera focused on him and allegedly continued to make fun of him throughout the game.
Oh, he was at the game. Oh, I see.
He's okay. Sitting in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, awesome.
Snoring away.
Love it.
And ESPN started to make fun of him.
As they should.
He claims, the guy who's suing, said the pair unleashed an avalanche of disparaging words against him, including stupor, fatty, unintelligible, stupid.
Right.
All during the April 13th game.
They did the right thing.
He's suing for $10 million because they made fun of him during the broadcast.
For emotional trauma and all that?
Whatever.
Please.
For being a stupid fatty. So we'll wait and see how this pans out. But what kind of world do we live in where you can sue somebody if they make fun of you? You know what? Don't fall asleep at the baseball game.
Yeah.
Apparently he slept through like a Carlos Beltran home run, too, and there's 45,000 people screaming in the
crazy.
Stands. And he's just pulling a Kevin.
How dare you?
That picture of you, by the way.
I haven't shared that one yet.
Oh, you got to share that.
I'd rather not.
It's pretty spectacular.
It's the best.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, July the 8th. Sophia Bush is 32 years old. Kevin's boyfriend, Robbie Keane of the LA Galaxy, is 34. No bell for Sophia Bush,
by the way.
She's
pretty good. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Retroactive.
Slacking.
Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes, of course, and from Rocky 6, I want to say.
Hard to keep him straight.
Rocky Balboa. Was that the 6th? I think it was the 6th
one. So. Yeah.
Doesn't matter how many times life knocks you down, is you going to get up. You know, that's what winners do.
That's the one where they were going to, in a video game. Right,
they started off by doing a video game with him and the current heavyweight champ, Mason Dixon.
Right.
And then they caused such a stir
the battle, the video game battle, that they actually get back in the ring together. 65-year-old Rocky Balboa gets back in the ring with Mason Dixon.
Could happen.
And he holds his own, man. He holds his own against the current heavyweight champ.
Sure.
At 65. Beck Hansen's 44. Michael Weatherly is 46 years old. Billy Crudup is 46 years old. Toby Keith, the country singer. Isn't he a Red Solo Cup? Isn't that Toby Keith?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I'll have to get some of that up.
No, thank you.
Sure.
He's 53. Kevin Bacon's 56. Angelica Houston turns 63. And Jeffrey Tambor, who's so wonderful in Arrested Development and pretty much everything he does. Remember what was the Gary Sandling show he did? That fake talk show
right,
they had
right,
on.
Right.
What's the name of that? I love that show.
You know, come on now. We can do this.
It's the one where. Fake talk show.
Larry Matthews show. No, the.
Larry Sanders?
Larry Sanders! Chip for the win!
Chip!
Woo! I'm Ralph Carmen. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 7 o'clock. Petros Papadakis coming up. Going to talk some sports and some NBA and find out where some of these huge players like LeBron James are going to go. We also have funny man Brad Williams, comedian
awesome.
Brad Williams, in the studio talking about our trip to Brazil, which was quite a good time.
It sounded like it.
I don't go on Kickstarter. Never have, really. But seems like it's a crowdfunding source, and it seems like it works well. But this story really baffles me. It's out of Columbus. A Kickstarter is funding website, and this guy said, "I've never made potato salad." Okay.
All right.
He considers himself a little bit of a chef.
Okay.
But I've never made potato salad. Now, okay. I don't know what would make you go, "I need to get this funded," because potato salad seems like it would cost $10?
Maybe.
$5?
You could go online and get a recipe.
$3?
Buy some potatoes.
He goes on Kickstarter. His goal is $10, and he has made over $30,000 so far.
What are people doing?
I don't know. Why would people send him money to make potato salad?
I can't imagine.
Over $30,000.
What? Is he feeding the world?
Here's the news story.
Well, Kickstart is a funding website where you can help others with a goal, maybe a trip, buying a house, or for Zach Brown, make potato salad.
By the way, most of the time it's... you know, a movie that you're trying to get made or whatever.
Right.
You don't have the funds to do it, so they try to raise money or health issues.
Yep.
But making potato salad, this may be a first.
New at 6, ABC6's Andrew Michael shows us the plan to take this side dish to center stage worldwide.
I didn't think it was ever going to blow up this big.
Since birth, Zach's middle name has been Danger. Seriously. Now his idea is what's in danger of blowing up.
I thought, I've never made potato salad, so I should try making some potato salad.
Well, that's some solid logic.
Okay.
But I've never made potato salad, so I should start making it. At what point do you go Kickstarter?
Like that never. I never go Kickstarter.
Right. You don't even entertain the idea. It's not like you have to go, should I go on Kickstarter? No, that's dumb. I'm making potato salad. You don't have that conversation because it never enters your mind.
It started with prepping for Independence Day.
This week, people were talking a lot about potato salad.
And anyway, what goes better with the 4th of July than some potato salad? You want some?
I like when people eat on TV. It's always entertaining.
The idea is simple. Donate money to make a batch of potato salad. If you donate at least $5, you get to pick an ingredient, and we all have our twists.
Probably be some, you know, Thousand Island.
Ketchup and mustard.
BW3's wing sauce.
Cinnamon, yeah.
But for Zach?
There's that potato salad, like the yellow one. I really like that one.
It started a day ago, and now he can hardly keep up.
Oh, we just got more backers while we were standing here.
The funding ends August 2nd.
And then we do a potato salad party. So it's crazy that it's just spun out of control like this.
I saw a potato salad party last night at the Troub, and they really brought it. Yeah. What the hell?
So he's going to use all of that money to make potato salad. Is that right?
According to
him.
And
he's going to use every ingredient?
It's going to be a lot of potato salad.
Everybody
They're going to have a hell of a party.
What?
We need an invite, don't we?
We'll send him some money.
People want his potato salad from around the world.
People tweeting in Japan, and we got a comment from someone in Norway who said that they were really excited that we were doing this potato salad Kickstarter. They hadn't seen anything like that before. France, there was a lot of tweets from France this morning.
The hard part will be getting all of the backers in his house.
You can see the kitchen's a little small, but I think that we can make do.
And for those outside of the country?
And then ship it across the world.
And the potato salad idea makes people smile.
I feel like, you know, if everyone had a little scoop of potato salad every day, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, I agree with that guy. That would really help.
He's going to ship them potato salad. Is that right?
That's what he's saying.
I don't believe him.
Around the world.
And Zach Danger did say he will be springing for better ingredients, such as better mayonnaise and some other things. But he's still getting backers, and we want to check it. We've been keeping an eye to see if he's broken 1,000 yet. Not there.
Close.
But he said he was only hoping for maybe $10, $20. What? And he has no idea. There was people from Australia.
Now, if you're only looking for $10 or $20, again, why do you go to Kickstarter? Why don't you just borrow from a friend or parent?
Your pocket, really.
Your pocket?
Is where you go.
Maybe he doesn't have it. Okay, so then what? You go to a friend or something? You don't go to Kickstarter.
That's insane.
Doesn't make any sense.
Turkey, Iceland, and now he has to ship it to them.
Oh my gosh.
He's coming a little bit of a bigger project.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to talk to Ginny's maybe. Maybe they know.
You got to pack it in something to keep it cold.
Yeah, you sure do.
All right, interesting concept.
I like
there
the Thousand Island ingredient.
All right, so those guys go on for about a half hour talking about what they like in potato salad.
Do people just think it's funny and that's why they sent money?
That's the only thing I can imagine.
Yeah.
Let's go to the King of Mexico, who has been keeping an eye on this. By the way, if you donate $25 or more, you do get a hat that says, I love potato salad.
Okay, good.
So if you want that hat. That's really what you want to go for. Hey, Dave.
Yo.
All right. So what's it up to? Because he wanted $10 to $20.
According, you know, not including my $25 because I want that hat. The total is 38016.
All right. First of all, nobody says money that way. 38016.
No.
But that's $38,000.
That's American dollars. Yes.
Thank you, Dave. That is
38,000
dollars for potato salad.
There's something wrong with this world.
Yes, there is, and I love it. Petros Papadakis.
Hey, where's the bachelorette sound?
Has
I was up
joined
all
us
night
in studio.
Let's do it. Where's Ralph?
Ralph has lost track of the bachelorette.
Yeah. That he tapped out. Huh?
He tapped out after I think the first episode.
So I am like the lone survivor.
Yeah,
so,
I don't,
so
are
to
you,
speak.
Are you still watching it?
I was up at 2 in the morning watching The Bachelorette. I have an obligation to the listeners. I don't know about the rest of you radio.
Well, not to our listeners.
You need to really take stock in your life.
I mean, whatever Lisa May.
Hey, Pete, you need to take stock of your life and go, what am I doing? I'm watching The Bachelorette at 2 a.m.
I've made a promise. I'm like a promise keeper, one of those Christian dudes in Colorado that goes to the stadium to listen to the white guy speaks.
Right.
I'm that guy.
Okay.
I kept a promise to the listeners, and I'm going to hang with. I hate this Bachelorette. I hate every minute
of it. Well, you should be smarter about the promises you make. Don't you think?
Perhaps you're right. But I'm still going to fulfill my promise of delivering Bachelorette and Bachelor News.
But
I'm not saying I'm going to watch Bachelor Pad or Bachelor in Paradise.
You never made that promise to us, so.
But you have a theme song, and Ralph's
we
here.
We do it, but he's not watching, and so no. It's so happy to say no.
You want to talk about sports?
Let's talk about free agency in the NBA, which you love. I know it's one of your favorite topics.
Well, we have kind of reached critical mass. I mean, you have to admit, you've been a basketball fan, a deep basketball fan, for many, many years now.
Right.
And this has become ridiculous. And I don't know if it's because there's more interest. I don't know if it's because these guys are more individual than they've ever been in the past, even though that's been the case for a long time. I really do think, and we've talked to a lot of experts about this, that it's social media, and it is the...
So you hear about it a lot more than you used to.
Just a gaggle of experts out there. You hear misinformation, and that's what's annoying. Because when we put on an expert on the radio show, or we have an expert opinion on the radio show, and people say things like, well, there's a fart in the wind chance that Carmelo Anthony comes to the Lakers.
Right.
Believe it and take it as gospel. And then 5 hours later, the same people say, oh, there's a good chance. He's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming to Lakers now.
Yeah.
Oh, he was at Pauley Pavilion with the ghost of Wilt Chamberlain
and LeBron,
and they were all together, and they were talking about how great they're going to be when they all get together. So, and it's like, well, you just told, were you lying then or are you lying now? And it's really not lying at all. It's some agent. Everybody with their own spin, pulling some media guy's chain.
So it's just a lot of hype. that
there's
may
no one
mean
to
nothing.
Believe okay. anymore. I mean, it just has become ridiculous. And the real truth is, what we deserve as a sports media is for Carmelo Anthony to stay in New York, for LeBron James and his two buddies, Grover and Ernie, or whoever he's hanging out with over there
I think
now,
that's them.
For those two guys to stay in Miami with LeBron, and for everybody just to stay effing put.
Okay, that's great and all, but that's not going to happen.
Are
so,
you sure?
I heard somebody on TV say,
okay.
LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, the two biggest names, I imagine, right?
Right. Well, and not only are they Chris the biggest Bosch. Names, but they're holding the rest of the NBA hostage. I mean, everything until basically LeBron really makes his decision.
Can they make that decision now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that,
legally,
and
I don't
leak
know
out, and then they sign on like Thursday.
Okay, so Thursday is the first time they can actually sign
but
sign
that, the news will be out before Thursday.
LeBron James has been talking about going to the Suns, back to Cleveland. There was one moment he was talking about the Clippers. I don't know. I mean, what's the?
Well, he hasn't really been talking about anything. To be fair,
that's all speculation.
Everything is speculation.
Even who he meets with.
Everything. No, I mean the meetings are real. Okay. Generally, I mean they leak those out to the right people. And like in the case of Carmelo Anthony, they're following, tracking private planes around
right.
the country. And Kobe's flying back from Brazil, but he's going to miss Carmelo. And, did Carmelo change the appointment to avoid Kobe, like when you let somebody ring through to your voicemail kind of thing? I mean, it was just stupid.
This is like something that happens, a news thing that happens on TV, and they have to fill 20 hours with
right.
information, and they don't know anything more than they did at the beginning, but they're just ad-libbing and making stuff
up
and guessing.
It is Malaysia Air-esque.
Yeah.
And I say that with all due respect to the media, which is basically not even a media anymore, the way we cover these stories. That being said, I mean, it is big news what these guys are going to do.
LeBron is the premier talent right now.
But he's the best
Correct.
Player. He's best player on the planet.
Right.
Best player we've seen in a long time. And
right.
he changes everything, whatever team he's on.
Whatever team he goes to is going to make it far into the playoffs, most likely.
It changes the entire landscape of the NBA wherever he is. So
right.
it does make sense. But the truth is, Carmelo Anthony's probably going to stay in New York. This rumor about L.A. is probably leverage.
Why would he stay, and why would he not come to the Lakers?
Well, I don't. Well, the Lakers have offered him everything,
right?
And they've offered his wife a TV show, for God's sakes. New York is probably countering with the same kind. I mean, that's the level they're probably at right now.
Right.
Nobody can pay him more than the Knicks.
Well, that's the thing is, a lot of people may not know this, is that the team you're playing with, LeBron James with the Miami Heat, they, by the NBA rules, can pay him more than any other team.
But there's so much money to make up for these guys. And let's say Carmelo Anthony comes to California. Maybe the taxes are a little bit more, though New York is also an expensive place to live. You know, he has East Coast roots, all that different stuff. But the weirdest part about the New York Carmelo Anthony thing is this. Phil Jackson is in charge in New York.
Right.
Phil Jackson is engaged to Jeannie Buss, who is semi in charge in L.A.
Right.
They're engaged to each other, but seemingly having a tug of war over an athlete
sure.
In a bi-coastal way. Now, Jeannie Buss, though she's in business with the Lakers, very much so, does not reportedly talk to her brother, Jim Buss, who's also in big business with the Lakers, who hates Phil Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
I don't know who's
Who would make this decision? Which one of them would make this decision?
Make what decision? They've made the decision to pitch the world to Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, I see. And then it's up to
they've
him.
They've already done it.
Okay.
I mean, who made the decision to paint the freaking Beverly Hills Hotel like Dwight Howard's jersey? That wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah, that didn't really
anything like, and that's
work
the most,
out either.
That's
going to
be the hardest thing for Laker fans. If Carmelo Anthony does come, it's and I'm not just saying that that would bring a championship, but it would be another windfall in a line of decades of windfalls for
right.
one of the great franchises in the history of sports.
But as a Lakers fan, you really do sort of get used to the fact
yes,
that this is a team that will pull out all the stops and get someone
right.
here.
Because Shaquille O'Neal showed
uh-huh.
up, because Kobe Bryant was traded for on draft day, because
right.
Pau Gasol was traded for, because there's always been, especially in recent memory, something that pulls the franchise back into relevance. But Laker fans, if he doesn't come, and there's a very distinct possibility that that's the case,
right?
If he doesn't come, then...
What's Laker Plan B, do you know?
Oh, they don't have one.
Excellent, good.
Laker Plan B would be 2015.
Oh, I see.
I mean, Laker Plan A with Carmelo and Kobe, I mean, Dwight Howard and Kobe didn't work out super great. Kobe got one leg, and Carmelo Anthony's never been to an NBA Finals. The closest he's been is to a conference finals, and that was a while back when he was in Denver. I mean, this guy...
It's not a given. I mean, when we brought in Dwight Howard, it was like, oh, this is ridiculous. They're stacked. They're going to kill, and there's no chemistry. It doesn't work.
And this guy's a ball dominator who has a hard time playing with other guys who are ball dominators. Guess who's a ball dominator? Kobe Bryant. By the way, Kobe only has one leg. And the problem...
I love the Lakers. I always have. I love Kobe, but everything that people say about him being too self-centered and not enough about the team and too much about himself, I think that's all true as well.
Well, he's one of the most accomplished athletes in the history of our city and beyond.
Right.
But that being said, every problem he's ever had from the beginning till now has been ego-driven. Those are his problems.
And that's Carmelo Anthony as well. Can they play together?
Probably not. But the truth is, I mean, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it, Carmelo Anthony, I think, and because everybody else thinks something too, and I'm not tracking private jets or anything,
right?
But I think he's going to stay in New York.
You
I think that's going to be a jagged pill to swallow for Laker fans who are going to say, my God, we were used as bait. We were us, the mighty Lakers, were used as leverage for a franchise that is completely and totally decimated, just like we are.
I don't see it that way, though.
You will if he stays in New York.
No. Here's my thing. If we're used as leverage, okay, but I want to make the best offer that I can. Like, I want to do everything I can from my end to make sure that he comes here.
Once I do that, it seems like they have.
So once I do that, you know, if he uses his leverage or whatever, that's up to him. But at least I know at the end of the day, I did everything I could.
Well, what
to bring
would bother me is all these reports.
And I don't know why I'm running the Lakers, but I should be.
Yeah, well, you take a helicopter to the games. You're halfway there. I mean, like Kobe Bryant shows up with that Mamba helicopter. But the truth is that Laker fans might want that. They might want to feel like, wow, they pulled out all the stops. But perhaps all of it was just a smokescreen. That's the problem with the way the media is working, is they're getting everybody's story out.
Right.
You know, if they want a story out that, hey, Carmelo's really interested in the Lakers, you better give him those two floors of the Empire State Building you promised.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff, you know, to make the Knicks nervous. It's just business. And then
right.
you feel like a lot of this Donald Sterling stuff, even the stuff in court, stuff about dementia and Alzheimer's with the Clippers, all this wacky stuff, a lot of that is planted. A lot of that is diversions and smoke screens, so this guy can get the best deal he can
right.
out of the NBA as they get sweating as we approach the season, because nobody wants to play in a league where Donald Sterling's still involved. And we're reporting it, but really it's just leverage for the courts and the BS, and that bothers me.
All right, final question for the NBA free agency.
Did I do well enough in the conversation?
You did very well, yeah. Will we know?
I wanted to talk about the Bachelorette.
I know. Will we know both answers by the end of the week, most likely?
Yeah, yeah. It'll come out, and it will be.
Today's Tuesday. We'll know before
Friday. You'll be so
Friday.
Tired of it. Adrian Wojnarowski is the premier guy. He works for Fox Sports 1 and Yahoo, and I'm with him every night.
Okay.
And you can't have a full conversation with him because he stops and looks at it. He's like the premier guy, and it's infuriating to watch him work. His laptop looks like it's been thrown like a frisbee across a battlefield in Afghanistan.
Right.
And he said 48 hours.
From when? Last night.
So it was about 10 hours ago.
So we may find out
so
today.
So 38 hours, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
And then they can officially sign a contract on Thursday.
Yes, or something like that.
So it's
and
all...
don't hold me to that. What do I look
of course
like?
Not.
Some kind of sports expert?
No, we don't. We know you're not a sports expert.
Yeah, hold
that's,
your tongue.
That's why we like you. So anyway, we'll find the answers to those questions very soon.
You think Carmelo Anthony would really get you by freaking Kevin Durant? And Tim Duncan and the beauty that is the San Antonio Spurs?
I think if they have chemistry, yes. I do think that. But it takes chemistry. Obviously, we didn't have it with Dwight Howard. There's no chemistry. You can have a team that has chemistry that beats a bunch of superstars any day. But if you don't have chemistry, then it sucks. And he comes here and doesn't fit. It's not going to be
good drama, though.
It would be good drama. All right. Petros Papadakis is here. We'll take a break. The Petros and Money Show is 3 to 7 p.m. on Fox Sports
Separate
Radio.
Today.
AM 570.
Noon.
And they get bumped around when the Dodgers play.
So yeah, like today.
They're going to start today at noon.
All That's right. why I came in early.
All right. Fantastic. P is here. We'll be Petros Papadakis is in the studio with us. As you know, I'm not a huge baseball fan, as I find it quite boring. But I understand I'm in the minority, and I understand, especially you, Dodger fan number one.
Well, I mean, come on. That doesn't mean I watch a whole game. I mean, let's be serious.
It's too boring, right?
Right. You're going to lose track of it eventually. Right. I mean, I'm not like a guy that shows up with a scorecard. I'm a guy that drinks beer and eat hot dogs.
You're not Larry King showing up with...
Does he keep score? They keep score for you now on your iPad. I mean, you don't have to do it.
I think a lot of people, old school guys, like to do that themselves.
Yeah, I think they're weirdos.
They are weirdos.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it.
All-Star Game's coming up.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about the Dodgers.
It's somewhere in the world. Where did they put the All-Star Game this year?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Am I supposed to know that?
Well, more than me.
The four Dodgers have made the All-Star Game. They are traveling somewhere. Kansas City, I think.
And that's Kershaw and Puig.
Kershaw,
and
Greinke, Yasiel Puig, and the unselfish D. Gordon, who was originally supposed to be a shortstop, thought about moving him to the outfield, thought he was a bust, and he came back with a vengeance at second base this year and has really been one of the better players in baseball. Really fast, whip-it-like guy.
How many guys can do that where they play a position and then they
not a lot, with, especially right? in the world of baseball. I mean, you see this big problem with the Dodgers in the outfield because they have too many players, they have too much money, and they want to pay all these people, and now they have Carl Crawford and Yasiel Puig and Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp out there. Currently, Carl Crawford is hurt, but when all those guys are healthy, it's a problem because they all see themselves and have to for the amount of money they make and the confidence that they have to go play that sport, which is very emotional, especially at the plate. Sure. These guys have to have great confidence and feel like I'm an everyday player. But you're not if you're on the Dodgers. And it's an attitude issue for the Dodgers when all four of those guys are healthy. And that problem's coming around again in the second half as they get healthier. So to have a guy like D. Gordon, who was expected to be the shortstop, and here comes Hanley Ramirez, and he has to move to second. Well, first he has to move down to the minors, and then he's humbled to have a chance. Again, he's got to move positions.
That seems like it's so mentally crushing.
For him to climb out of that and become an all-star player, that's a great deal for the Dodgers. And Matt was talking about this yesterday, and I agreed with him, on a team that does have a lot of seemingly selfish guys and individuals, to have a guy who's been very unselfish, have so much success, is a good thing. I mean, the Dodgers' best player is clearly El Cubano Loco, Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
And he's crazy. I mean, he's a wacky guy.
I love that about him.
I love him, too. Yeah. And he's beloved all over the world of baseball and also hated. He's polarizing.
Sure.
But that being said, when the best player on your team is a 22-year-old guy straight out of Cuba like a missile, and he's wacky, you need things to ground the team.
I think wacky is a pretty nice term for him. He may be crazy.
Yeah, he might be. But
I'm fine with that. I love...
He drives very fast.
Yeah, that he does.
And now he has a driver. But he's a fun player to watch, and he's a joy to cover because of his exuberance for baseball. Like you said, you know, baseball's boring. Baseball's a grind.
To me, I mean...
It's hard on everybody, though.
Okay.
I mean, the season is long. It's really hard.
It is a four-year season.
The people that cover it, the people that travel with the teams, the media that's entrenched with the teams.
How many games do they play? 180? 180?
Something like that. They hate each other. I mean, they deeply hate each other. The media, the baseball players, everybody that's around all the time. So when you have somebody who's exciting like that, it makes the days go shorter. In football, we would just get in fist fights to make the day go shorter.
Well, that would speed things up, I would imagine, yeah.
Well, the hatred, it drags you through. Kind of like, that's how I got through The Bachelorette last night.
Yeah.
Because I'm so filled with hatred for The Bachelorette,
right.
Andy.
That, you keep going back to that, but we're not going to talk about it. That's not going
to
happen.
I'm ready to discuss.
Yeah, I know.
Just saying.
You should do that on your podcast.
It's not, well, you could podcast a show, but it's not technically a podcast.
Let's talk World Cup. You watching?
Yes.
You
sadly
are. I'm very surprised.
Well, first I was watching for your imminent death.
Yeah.
And when that didn't happen, I found myself sucked into the tournament.
I tweeted out that I think a lot of people pictured me as an ant, and I'm more of a cockroach. Like, I'm not
like
just...
you're going to survive
I
pretty
will
much
survive
everything.
Whatever
but you
happens.
Are not well currently.
Oh, no, I'm sick now.
Because of what you've
but
done.
But it was so worth it.
Yeah,
it
seemed like you had a good
it
time.
It was so
and
great.
And perhaps my warnings of you having your organs harvested were a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people said, too, that because they're so poor, everybody will steal from you.
Yeah.
And by the way, just for the record, 99% of poor people don't commit crime.
That's true.
They just don't. They were the most beautiful people I've ever met. And I'm not just talking about the hot chick. I see you smiling.
No, I just that was very touching. I enjoyed the whole thing. I happened to be in Europe.
Oh, well,
while the tournament was underway.
Sure.
And it being there and seeing how people react to it, especially in a country where a team went through.
You were in Greece.
Yeah, I was in Greece. And just to see the way, I mean, people literally just stop in the street and they just stare at the team at 4 a.m.
Right.
Just stare at a projection of the game on a white wall in an ancient village in Greece. I mean, that's how they watch the sport. And they do it in a very drunk way.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's part of it, of course.
Super, super inebriated state.
We're up to the semifinals, for those of you that aren't paying that much attention. Brazil plays Germany today at 1 o'clock, and then Netherlands, Argentina tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then this weekend they have the third place game in the final. Do you care?
Yeah.
Other than Greece, I mean.
I cared about Greece. I was rooting for the U.S. I had a minor interest in Italy because there was an Italian restaurant near where I was staying, and they had a TV up. And, of course, you know, they...
Wow, that's a good way to choose a team.
They got rid of their TV right away after they lost.
I imagine,
while screaming at each other.
Sure.
They're Italians. They can't control
themselves. To a Brazil game in Brazil, and they fight amongst themselves.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. It's not like they're fighting against the other team's fans.
They get
mad at each other.
I've worked in sports my whole life and been to giant sporting events and covered them and done all that. Only twice have I ever felt like I was in danger. Once with Matt right before the Mayweather-De La Hoya fight in Vegas.
Okay.
When women in cocktail dresses were just throwing haymakers at each other.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, there was just fights broke out all over the place. I was like, whoa. This is bad.
Right.
And
we should move someplace else where they're not fighting.
At a Greek soccer game in Athens.
Oh, is that right?
Where I felt like, wow, there's going to be... And the weirdest thing is these guys are total peas at the club. They don't want to fight, but they go to a soccer game, and all of a sudden everybody in Europe becomes the guy from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It's like a 10-year-old kid in Scotland can usually beat up all of Western Europe, like everybody in Italy.
Yeah.
But in a soccer game, all of a sudden everybody becomes a hard ass. I don't understand it. You know, here in the States, they don't have that. I mean, we go to football games, we feel safe. We go to baseball games. Generally, I mean, we feel safe at sporting venues to be with our families. It's not like that around the country or the world, excuse me.
In some parts of the world, yeah, that's true. At the World Cup, though, they had the entire military out. So there was no – once you got inside of the outside, you know, perimeter, you were fine.
Yeah, but –
they had dogs and they had pepper spray and they had guns and they had batons. They were ready.
The poor were beautiful. The army was ready, all that.
Yes.
But what about the ass?
Pretty good. It's pretty good ass. You got to be honest.
Like the same as the sights on the – on the porn?
Pretty, yeah. Yeah. Yes. By the way, Colombia runs a pretty good second place to
Brazil. Oh, the Colombianas?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you saw the Colombiana starring Zoe Saldana.
I did.
She's not even Colombian, but
she's hot.
Yeah, so. Sultry.
That's all you really need.
Did you feel the sultriness in the air? I mean, like, just the friction of all the cheeks rubbing together?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, Lisa?
Yeah.
I mean, you know it.
Is that what actually creates the humidity?
I think it's part of it. Yeah, I think it's...
rubbing together?
Here's the thing, too.
It wouldn't be that way otherwise?
like a Boy Scout starts a fire.
We need... we're out of time, unfortunately, P, but I do want to say this. When they show up for the World Cup, the super hot chicks that are dressed like that, they're there to be seen. So it's not like you have to... clandestinely take a photo of them.
No, they like it.
They'll walk right in front of you and go, hey, take my picture. They insist on it.
It's in the same way you stare at the globe in science class. You know, it's just so perfectly round. You stare at
it. Are you talking about their asses?
Yes,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah. It's a call. It's like a native call, like the call of the ass.
I have a lot of photos I'll have to show you that I'm not putting up.
And it's something about the body shape, too. I don't know if, like, the toilet seats are bigger out there. I don't know how they handle it.
I don't know.
Like a whole different thing.
I don't know. It was a trip of a lifetime to go there, and it was really, really fun. I saw three U.S. games. I saw England play Costa Rica.
Did you pray to the big Brazil. Jesus, though, and confess your
we
sins?
We went to the big Jesus, Cristo, the statue, and you have to take a tram, then you have to walk upstairs, then you have to take a tram, then you do an elevator, then you walk upstairs, you get up to the top of the mountain, and fogged in. Couldn't see it.
You got all the way there?
I was at the base.
You couldn't even get like a robe or like
no.
a...
Nothing.
Like a hand?
You couldn't see anything except for the base of the statue, which is below Cristo's feet.
Did you feel his immortal presence?
I did not. No, because everybody there was there for the World Cup, so Argentina fans would all start singing at the base of Cristo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then Colombian fans would all get together, and they would start chanting. It was crazy.
See, my vision of your trip now is a fogged-in Jesus with a bunch of girls in G-strings running around underneath.
It's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate.
All right, well, I'm going for Brazil because I don't want them to lose and have the country explode. Is that your general feeling?
That I do love Brazil, but I'm also an FC Barcelona fan, so I love Lionel Messi, who plays for Argentina.
And he's cut his hair.
But I will tell you this. A, I don't care about cutting his hair. But B, if Argentina wins against Brazil, I do know that they are mortal enemies, and that's not going to go well. That's going to be ugly.
There's like a fight between Fanta and Tuborg
people
soda?
People in Brazil are not fans of Argentina.
Orangina versus Pellegrino?
I mean, if they play, you know, any other team, fine. But if they play each other, fireworks, it's not going to go well. I'm
all right.
That.
Well,
that's Sunday.
Let's hope for the best.
All right.
I mean, no one's died yet, right? Which is good.
Well, there have been some deaths.
Bridge collapse.
I left a city where I drove past a bridge 8 times, and then 2 days later, it collapsed on a school bus.
So you are lucky to be alive.
Pretty much.
And I told you not to go.
Yeah, but I had the time of my life.
Would I have been? Yeah, but it still wasn't worth it.
Yes, it was totally worth it.
If you were like...
I'm dying that I can't go back now, this week, for these games.
Speaking of death, if you were about to die, would you have thought of me? Like, wow, Petro said. Or was there like a whole line of people that you would have thought of before me?
I do have kids.
Well, yeah, but like about like the I told you so moment. Like, damn, I shouldn't have gone to Brazil. Whose laughing face would you have thought of? I mean, not mine. Not even mine.
There were a lot of people.
Like a dozen people at least before me.
Everyone on Twitter, first of all, they all told me I was going to die. And I was only in danger one time, which we don't have time to talk about. But it was awesome. And I wish I could go back.
That time you were in danger, were they going to take one of your lungs? Or?
I might have died in that particular time. But we'll have to talk about it another time. We're out of time.
But was it an organ harvesting thing?
What part of we're going to have to talk about this another time are you not getting? Petros and Money Show airs 3 to 7 on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. Today they're on at noon because of the Dodgers. And Petros, we always love having you.
Yeah,
thanks.
Great Petros. To be here.
Thank you, man.
Go Brazil.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:59. Funny man Brad Williams coming up in the next hour. First, Ralph is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These people were born today on the July 8th.
Mm-hmm. We may have run a little long.
No, your mastery of the clock, as always, sir, is impeccable.
It's pretty tough to corral pee.
Well, somebody's got to do it, man.
Yeah.
It's not the pee and pee show, man.
Yeah.
The name's on the door. You got it. You've got to carry the weight. You get all the roses, man. Sometimes you got to get the thorns.
I failed.
Hear what I'm saying?
I failed.
God bless you.
You have 10 seconds, though.
All right. Well, then let's talk about really quickly. This is entertainment.
Okay.
Let's talk about Action Park in New Jersey, the 35-acre amusement park that has just reopened after closing its doors in 1996. I cannot wait.
What is it?
Action Park is the world's most dangerous amusement park.
Okay, because it's unsafe or because it's extreme?
Because it's unsafe.
Just like falling apart?
In its history, 6 people have died there and hundreds have been injured.
Oh, well, I'm glad they're reopening.
They are reopening it. The theme park, Action Park, was nicknamed Class Action Park when it closed its doors in 1996 because of all the multiple lawsuits. In its heyday, the park averaged 5 to 10 injuries a day.
What?
Wow. That's absurd.
Owner said they decided to reopen the place.
5 injuries
so,
a day.
Good luck, everyone. Let's take a road trip and do the Kevin and Bean show from Class Action Park, where people get hurt all the time.
Would you ever go to a park like that where 5 people got
Not
injured
in
every day?
A million
day?
Years.
That's crazy.
But this is Jersey, people.
Yeah.
I've spent a large part of my youth in Jersey, and I'm telling you, they got nothing to live for.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
I love
God.
My Jersey friends. I love my Jersey friends. You can't drive, but I love people in New Jersey.
They're just hoping to die.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeffrey Tambor is 70 years old today. Angelica Houston, 63. Kevin Bacon turns 56. Billy Crudup is 46 years old today. He's dreamy. He was Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen. Remember him and his big blue penis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had a massive blue penis. Oh, boy, what a blue penis.
I don't remember the penis as much as you seem to. But...
Oh, boy, did he have a blue penis.
Yeah. All right.
Michael Weatherly is 46 years old. Beck Hansen is 44. Milo Ventimiglia celebrates his 37th birthday. Robbie Keane, Kevin's boyfriend from the LA Galaxy, is 34. And Sophia Bush celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And we welcome to the studio Brad Williams.
I'm alive.
He's alive.
We made it.
Congratulations.
Woo! You follow him at Funny Brad. That's where you found the picture of me sitting in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't even sitting in the hotel.
It was in the club.
It was earlier in the night.
When you were sitting down wearing pants, which is shocking enough.
Well, I had to wear the pants to get into the party.
Right. And then you're sitting there with a slice of pizza, which they didn't, but, and Lisa May,
yes.
They didn't serve pizza at that club. Kevin, we can just show up and he's got pizza. And we have no idea how that happened.
I don't either. I really don't either.
Seriously?
Because
he gets drunk and food exists.
But Brad does the right thing, and that is that when he saw me sitting down at the party, it's just pathetic, like slumped over like I was dead, and I had a drink in one hand and a piece of pizza in the other. First, he took a picture.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then they said, hey, you okay?
Then we checked for pulse. Yes.
Yeah, but only after the photo, which I think is the right thing to
do. Absolutely.
That is the right thing to do.
Either way, it's historical.
So it was me, and it was Funny Brad, Brad Williams,
yep.
And it was his brother-in-law and another friend of ours named John, and we all were the four that went to Brazil to all of these games, and it was awesome.
It was the best trip, and we knew that it was going to be a good trip based on just how it started out. Because it started out with us going to flying to Miami, and then we had some hours before our next flight, so we waited in the airport lounge. And Kevin over here produces the tiniest Brazilian Speedo ever, and
yeah.
Just looks at me and goes, "How much for you to wear this right now?"
That's how
you kill some.
That's how fun gets started.
Right?
Yeah, and I just look at it and go. You had me at Brazilian Speedo.
Yeah.
So. And then the other guys were pitching in, and it was so then basically Brad disappeared and came back.
Yep.
Wearing, I mean, calling it a Speedo is being generous.
Yeah, and I walk into the airport lounge, all these guys in fancy suits, and they're business travelers, and they're first class, and the British accents, and all that, and I just walk in wearing a Speedo, like, let's party! Welcome! Let's do it! And then, like, they're all looking around, like, is this in every airport lounge? Dwarfs and Speedos? Is this
they're not
what
that
they
lucky.
Provide?
They're not that lucky, no. This
no.
is a one-time deal.
Yeah, and all was going well until some guy had his kids, and they walked in, and they saw the Speedo, and then I fully expected Chris Hansen to like, show up.
Brad turned and walked back to the restroom and changed out of it, and then we got our flight down to Brazil.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Brazil. First of all, just what an amazing trip. And, like, we never knew when the fun was going to happen. It would happen, like, at random places. Like, we got to one city late one night. We're like, all right, let's just go out to this restaurant. And let's just try to get some late-night eats before we go to bed. Apparently, like, everyone in Brazil knows Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's like a rite of passage.
I didn't know that.
It does seem to be the case, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they train one-year-olds like they're in their Pampers doing, like, blocks and holes and stuff. Because this patron starts a screaming match with a waiter.
I forgot to tell you this story. We were just sitting there eating, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a drink or two.
Sure. Or in your case, nine. But so we're sitting there, and all of a sudden they start screaming at each other, and the waiter just kind of passes him off and then goes to the kitchen, and the customer follows the waiter back there.
Runs into the kitchen.
Runs.
Oh, my God.
Yelling at the top of his lungs.
And then in, like, cartoon fashion, like Looney Tunes, you hear dishes crashing and things banging around. And then the waiter drags out the patron in a chokehold. The guy is passed out. He's out.
This guy.
Whoa.
This guy
who choked him out.
This guy choked him out. And this is just a waiter.
He's a waiter.
My God.
It's not like a fighting. It's not like a gym or anything.
No.
It was actually in a sort of an outdoor cafe type restaurant. Choked him out.
Yeah. And then of course Kevin runs over with his phone, starting taking pictures of the guy.
Oh, I videoed it.
Just laying out.
That's amazing.
And these guys were like, what are you doing? Because they said, you know, maybe he had friends or something. And that never occurred to me. Not one time.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to videotape this. This is awesome. Somebody gets choked out on maybe our first or second night? I don't remember.
First or second night. Oh. And it was a waiter. Like, the waiters in L.A. just give you headshots. Apparently, if you're a waiter in Brazil, you could choke a mofo out.
And, like, he had the right, you know, he had the hold he really like he's supposed it. To. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just laid the guy down and it
slipped
was,
it in deep.
It was awesome.
It was,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was so much
I forgot about
well,
a
that
lot.
That is such a hello from Brazil.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of things you forgot.
What?
You posted a lot of pictures.
Yes.
I did not see the picture of you passed out on the airplane, mouth agape, head back.
Oh, we are insisting that that make it.
In
that,
my defense.
That is going to be posted.
In my defense, that was the day we were in, I believe, Rio de Janeiro. We took a yes. day trip to go see Brazil play Chile. Mm-hmm. We wanted yeah. to experience a Brazil home game in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Brazil – we all had Brazil jerseys on and everything because yep. the U.S. wasn't playing in that game.
Because
so like,
we wanted to fit in because we didn't want it to,
you don't
to kill
die,
us. Yeah.
Right?
And I was sick.
You were?
I was very sick. So I got on the plane and I was miserable. Mm. But none of that explains how bad this photo is. This photo is so bad. And Brad goes, I'm going to be a nice guy and give you the option of
right.
not putting it up. Which apparently he is now withdrawing.
I'm yes. withdrawing that
you
option.
No longer have that
it's
option.
It's too good.
I mean, it really is one of those where you go, look, I am not a good-looking person. Okay, that's A. B, my head is giant. Okay, C, I don't look good in any pictures. I'm not photogenic at all. So I stopped caring about pictures. I don't mm-hmm. care. I don't care if I'm in them or whatever.
Well, this is very obvious based on this post.
And that photo is embarrassing even to me.
You are a passed out baby trying to lift his head for the first time.
Aww.
That's
my
that's
mouth.
The photo.
My mouth just hanging.
My
open.
Mouth was open enough to put a suitcase in. I'm not exact. You post it. I can't bring myself to do
okay,
it.
Okay,
after this break, yeah.
I will post it. I will post it on my Instagram. You can
and then we'll all repost.
Yes,
it. All. Of
well,
us
I don't think we all need to repost
keep reposting.
It.
No, we all will.
Yeah, we
Brad
will.
Williams comic on Instagram. At Funny Brad on Twitter. You can see this picture, retweet it, and ladies and gentlemen, I believe this will be Kevining 2.0.
See, a lot of people were talking about the one that you took of me in the at the party.
Right.
When I was passed out and I had
being our new Kevining.
Drink in my hand yeah. and the pizza.
No. I think,
you think
this
is better.
This is way better. This is Kevining. So. This is Kevining 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I'd like to suggest that it's just another funny photo. I don't
nope.
know that we need to have any kind of.
Nope.
I plan to recreate it immediately after the
2-year contest going on.
Send in your pics, everyone.
Come on.
Start
now.
Following us.
Done
send in your Kevining 2.0 pictures in various locations. The crazier the location,
all
the
right.
better.
See that's... if you can get your pets to do it. That'd be cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I can't wait. I'd
love to see a German Shepherd Kevining.
Oh.
It's not pretty. In a life of embarrassing photos, this one's worse than most. All right, we need to take a break. Funny Brad is here, Brad Williams. We'll take a break and we will come right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And the likes on Instagram are going crazy. The comments are up there. I just tweeted the picture. This is Brad Williams speaking. I just tweeted the picture on my Instagram and on Twitter, so follow me at FunnyBrad and at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. And yeah, it's Kevining 2.0. The picture is up.
I don't
up.
Know that it's Kevining 2.0.
This is Kevining 2.0.
It's an embarrassing photo, but I don't know.
Send in your pics, everyone. Hashtag Kevining. And let us see it.
You know, the last Kevining, I still to this day get people occasionally who want to take a picture that go, will you do Kevining? And that was like 2-3 years ago. That was not fun.
It's not over yet.
It's over.
It's coming back.
It doesn't need to come back, is what I'm saying.
This is like the McRib. It goes away for a while, and then Kevining will always come back. There will always be a new pose, a new something. So make sure you tweet out your pics, everyone. Use the hashtag Kevining, and I'm sure you guys will repost your favorites. Kevin will absolutely repost his favorites.
Yeah, sure. I'll get right on that because it's so much fun. In a lifetime of bad pictures, that one is pretty much up there. I mean, that's got to be top 3 in bad pictures.
It's impressive.
Thank you, Lisa.
I will give you that.
Thank you.
Darn right.
Let's talk about getting into the U.S. soccer party.
Oh, yeah.
Because then we want to take some phone calls about you, the K-Rock audience, lying about who you were so you could get into an event.
Right.
And we get there. The U.S. is having some kind of rally. Do you remember what city it was in?
This was where we saw Germany. So that was Belo Horizonte.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
So they're having a huge rally. This is the one that Will Ferrell came out at. And somebody in Europe, a podcast listener, found the video of Will Ferrell and saw my drunk ass in there and said, oh, yeah, you can see him right at 39 seconds or 40 seconds or whatever.
You drank so much that night. We got a bottle of vodka and I had
in
a
my
glass.
Defense, before you start, in my defense, we started the night with a full bottle of vodka. It's not like we started slow. Like, that was our introductory drink.
Yes, but from what Brad is saying, you bogarted the bottle.
Well, I
pretty much. Well, okay.
And I had some, if that's what you're asking.
And tell me if this is a lie. My brother-in-law, Captain Bad Idea, poured you a glass.
Yes.
And then he poured me a glass.
Yes.
By the time he was done pouring me a glass,
yes.
Did you not have your glass back out saying, please, sir, I want some more?
It was empty. I did that mainly to make him laugh.
And then you did it twice.
Well, the second...
It was empty. He says it like he didn't empty it. It was just empty.
Oh, no, I emptied it.
Down your gullet.
I just thought if I shot it, it would be funny if I then put my glass back up. But then after that, I don't remember a whole lot.
And that was it.
It is. But, death is hilarious.
But getting into that party, it was a U.S. soccer rally.
Right.
And we were so excited to be there. It was such a fun trip. And you just are so, you're surrounded by a lot of fun people and everybody's excited to be there. And it was raining.
Yes.
And there was a long, long, long line.
Like 3 blocks long of sea of people trying to get in this party. And Lisa, you know that my pet peeve is when people call me Wee Man.
I know.
I hate it. I don't like it.
Brad looks just like Wee Man.
How dare you?
And I've spent a lot of time with Brad. And
maybe from the back.
He's 40 pounds heavier than me. He has 2 sleeves of tattoos and he's Mexican. I look nothing like him.
You were separated at birth. You were the same person. Every single day people mistake him for Wee Man.
In Brazil, too.
In Brazil. They just think
every little man is Wee Man?
Yeah. No,
basically.
Brad looks like Wee Man. But
just me.
They can't really speak the language, so they would go, jackass, jackass. And I said, I don't think they think you're Wee Man. I think they just hate you.
Yeah, they just don't like me. You just walk around.
Jackass.
Yeah, people pointing, jackass.
So this happens to Brad all the time. I mean, I've seen it happen hundreds of times, and I'm not with Brad all the time, so it must happen millions of times.
Almost every day.
So we were in the back of the line, and we realized it was going to be a long time, and there was a list that you could have gotten on that, of course, I forgot and didn't think about getting on and all that kind of stuff.
Which you had the hookups for.
Yeah, I know.
By the way, as we're at the list, as we're seeing this long line, he goes, oh, wow, this is sponsored by this corporation. I totally could have got us into this party.
Yeah.
Thanks!
I'm not a planner. So I said to Brad, look, you get mistaken for Wee Man all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it about time that it worked in your favor? So Brad and I walked past the entire line. Went up to the front, and I don't know why they didn't throw us out when I started by saying, I'm security. Like, who looks at me and goes, that guy's security?
I'm very threatened by you. Like, the only thing that you could protect is maybe if I was attacked by my own people. Like, if all the dwarves rose up.
Yeah. So, and I said, I got Wee Man here from Jackass.
Jackass.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the show, and we're perfectly willing to wait in the line, but he's getting hassled a lot. So I pulled the Wee Man card so that it would work in his favor.
Sure.
I love that. We're happy to be in line, but he's getting hassled.
Right.
A brilliant stroke.
Thank you. I know how to talk my way into places.
Yeah.
And then this is something, like I said, that happens to me every day, angers me just about every day, and the security person looks over, looks at me and goes, you're a Wee Man? And for the first time in my entire life, I go, yes, I am. I absolutely am. Do you need me to kick myself in the head? Do you want to toss me in a shopping cart and kick me in the balls? Like what do I have to do to prove I'm Wee Man? And they go, all right. And then they said, you
can come in. Do you have anyone else? And I was like, well, we have 2 other security guards. By the way, the 3 of us, none of us look like security guards. And they're perfectly willing to wait in line, too.
Yeah.
But if there's anything you could do. So they said, go get him really quick. So we went and got him, and all 4 of us got into the party.
Now, if they hadn't said, is there anyone else, you would have just gone in without him,
no,
right?
No, I would have tried.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would have tried. How dare you, Lisa?
I'm just asking. I know you've got this code.
How dare you?
Like, but if somebody doesn't wake up, you just leave them behind.
Well, no, that was the code. If somebody goes down, the other 3 just keep on
just
going.
Just kick them out of the way.
We are the absolute opposite of Navy SEALs.
Right.
We are leave every man behind.
Right.
That's what happened when
so
I missed my flight.
Yeah.
The other 3 were gone. And I was still in Sao Paulo for 12 hours because I missed my flight. But anyway, so we told the security that it was Wee Man and they let us into the party.
It was a great party.
And that's where Will Ferrell came out and shot the video.
Kevin doesn't know. He doesn't remember.
Well, right. I remember that part. I remember lying to get us in. Other than that. So now we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you lied about who you were to get into an event, whatever event it was, maybe a sporting event, maybe a concert, whatever. Like, for example, when the Grammys come around, I know that my boss, Mr. Weatherby, is on every list. And so at every part, and I know he's most likely not there. So at every party, I just go up and use his name. I say, I'm Kevin Weatherby, and my name should be on there. And it's always on the list, and so they let me in.
That's the best.
And my biggest dream is one day that he will show up and they'll deny him access.
Because already inside.
Because I'm already in. That would really be awesome.
Yeah, and I've heard that other dwarves go to comedy clubs and say they're me.
Nice!
To get in to go see comedians for free.
I love it.
So that's happened. I've gotten tweets and emails about that. So yeah, if you've ever lied about it.
You're an a-hole like us. Let's be honest. It's a bad move, but we were desperate. 1-800-520-1067. Those of you that are on hold, please hold. We'll come right back. Big Data on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin Amicho at 841. Brad Williams is here.
Comedian. Over 1,000 likes already on my Instagram for Kevining 2.0 picture.
He's much too happy about this photo.
Check it out. Been retweeted over 100 times.
Yeah, I've already seen about 10 people who have recreated it. But you listen to me. You really have to bring it, though. Don't half-heart this. Because the photo of me is horrific. So if you're going to do it, don't half do it with your mouth barely open. I mean, really, you do it right.
Yeah, be like Kevin and be really able to open your mouth wide.
Get in the moment.
Yeah. All right. So we went to a party while we were in Brazil. We lied and we said the Brad was Wee Man because, let's face it, dead ringer.
Right.
No.
Dead ringer.
Look nothing like him.
Please. So we're going to talk to people now who have lied about who they are to get into places. We will start with Bob on line six. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. So
I always get, hey, there's Shaq.
Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq. And it's not places I'm trying to get into. It's chicks I'm trying to get on my belt. You know, another notch on my belt.
So wait, do you look like Shaq?
Yeah, you don't sound like you look like Shaq.
No, not at all.
No, totally.
You look like Shaq.
7'2".
You're 7'2".
Yep.
And probably, what does Shaq weigh, 300?
Yeah, big dude.
Unbelievable.
Wait a minute.
You know, Brad,
how many, like, chicks you get.
This voice sounds very familiar to me.
Wait, who is it? You know him?
Jason, is that you?
You know how many chicks you get. Thinking you're Wee Man, don't you?
Yeah, everyone.
That's
hilarious.
So wait a minute. So Bob, you're saying that Brad says that he's Wee Man more than he lets on to me? Because to me, he told me this was the first time ever.
No. He lets it on.
I love it.
He rides it like Ferris wheel.
I love it.
Gosh.
And around.
I sort of felt bad. Now I'm fine with it.
How dare you
now
say
that? I know that's how he lives his life. I love it.
Don't let him cover it up.
Good enough. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jason.
You, sir, are a liar.
I've been outed by Wee Man himself.
You are a liar.
He said Shaq. I'm like, this voice sounds way too familiar.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
Good job.
All right. let's go to John in Tribuca Canyon. Hi there, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
All right, maybe you're not Jason Acuna, but who did you say you were?
So we were at the Weenie Roast, and the headliner was Don Ho.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a Hawaiian singer.
Mm-hmm.
So I went up to the security and said, hey, I'm Don Ho's grandson. I need to be in the backstage. So he lets me in the backstage, and I don't know if you remember, but you guys had seating actually on the stage.
Right.
So my friend Jesse and I sat on the stage to watch Don Ho. Security then walks up to me and says, who are you? I said, I'm John. And he goes, who's your buddy? Jesse. Yeah, that's what Jesse said. Get your ass off the stage.
Oh, why wouldn't you stick with the story that you're Don Ho's grandson?
Well, because I'm white as gin. I'm a white dude, and he is pretty dark. It was pretty obvious to everyone except for the 15-year-old pimply-faced security guy you had there.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how many people claim to be Don Ho's grandson.
Yeah,
but
that's a new one.
As long as it worked for you. That's so funny that Wee Man just called. That's awesome. Let's go to Patrick in Los Angeles.
Totally outed me.
Hey, so I am told often that I look a lot like Johnny Manziel. And,
okay.
And so on Halloween this year, I decided to play off that joke, and I wore a Texas A&M shirt and a backwards visor. And me and two buddies, let me preface this by saying that I played college football, so I'm friends with some big dudes that played linemen. So
right.
We're rolling in a club, and it's a huge long line because it's Halloween and all this. And so we decided to say, screw it, and we walk to the front, and I go, hey, I'm Johnny Manziel. Can I get in? And the guy says, he starts freaking out and lets us in, no cover charge. And then we get in the bar, and they pay for our drinks all night. Never
oh.
pay for a drink.
Wow. No way.
Well done. Yeah.
Well played, sir.
Yeah, so people were coming up, taking pictures and all that. And it was a good night.
That's awesome. Thank you, Patrick, for the call. Let's go to Mario. Hello, Mario. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning,
Wee Man.
You were.
How dare you, sir?
I'll make it quick. I was traveling to Vegas, like any college kid would do. I'm 6'8", offensive lineman. My buddy, 7'2", played basketball for the college I was going to.
Okay.
And we said that he played for the NBA and I played for the NFL. And we walked into a Playboy party.
A Playboy party in Vegas.
There
the
you
Palms.
Go.
Just by telling that you were a Raider.
Yeah, a Raider, and he played for, I think we said the Wizards or Golden State Warriors. Well, I don't know, I forget what team, but all we did was party, and you want to see beautiful women.
Yeah, the Playboy party, I'm sure.
And we were there all night. We got invited to, I forget what room it was. It's the room that has the pool that overlooks the strip.
I think that's actually the Hefner Suite.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
We were lucky.
Well played. You were lucky and smart. Well played.
Women are they're amazing motivators for lies.
Yes, they are. Let's go to Victor in Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
This is a strange one. I can't imagine that you actually told somebody this, and more importantly, that it worked.
It worked fine. I used to be the Octomom's manager for maybe, 6 to 8 weeks. I was the guy that called her crazy and nuts. I'm down by her house.
You were the manager of Octomom.
Yeah, you guys have thrown my name out there a couple of times, damn it.
All right, take it easy.
Okay, calm down.
And I was getting my window tinted on my new Mazda 3 down the street from her house. And the guys there recognized me, like, you're the Octomom's manager. I said, yeah. They're like, hey, is this her car? And I said, yeah, this is her car. I need to get her windows tinted. The paparazzi are all over her. It was my car. And so they said, yeah, just come back. So I called 6 hours later going, hey, where's my car? Is it done? And they said, sure, come on down. I go down there. It's lowered, brand new wheels, brand new tires.
What?
There's brand new tint. They're so thankful, and they're happy. And I'm going, great, thank you. How much do I owe you? They said, nothing. This is for her.
They did that for the Octomom?
The Octomom?
I would have thought they would have removed the tires.
Right, or, scratched it up.
Set it on fire.
Or like, wrote on the back window, close your legs, or something like that.
What the hell? All right, Victor, thank you for calling.
Wow.
Wee Man, thank you for calling.
How dare
he
you.
He so busted you.
He called in and
said that Brad does this all the time. Now, was he being funny, or do you do it more than you told me never?
You know.
Whatever's necessary.
Exactly.
Brad Williams has been our guest. BradWilliamsComedy.com is the website. About Last Night is the podcast, available on iTunes or FakeMustache.com with his co-host Adam Ray.
Yep.
And we had a great time. We had a great time.
We certainly did. Russia, 4 years later, we're coming.
Yeah, we're going to go to Russia. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Yeah, Robin Thicke is desperate to get his ex-wife back, Paula Patton, soon-to-be ex-wife. So much so that he named his 7th album after her. Paula was its name. And it was released on July the 1st. It may get her back, but it will not make him any money. Sales are in for the new album. It is having a bad start, to say the least, recording less than about 20,000 copies sold in the U.S. I know
No one buys CDs anymore, but even by that standard, this is a failure.
Wow.
You think nothing compared, obviously, to Blurred Lines.
Yeah, you think the guy that did that, though, would have an instant couple of hundred thousand, right?
His in the UK alone, sales of his previous album, Blurred Lines, in his first week, over 25,000 copies sold in just in the first week alone. Of Paula in the UK, this week has sold 530 copies.
Oh, my God. How long has he been trying to get her back? Like 6 months?
Since he boned their three-way partner without him, so I guess that's about 6 months ago.
But really, I mean, if she's had plenty of options. She's had opportunities. If she wants to come back, she'll come back.
I don't know if you've seen the new video, but he's...
Maybe move on.
He's posting text messages from the two of them back and forth. He's embedding them in the video as he sings to a lookalike of hers. And I think everyone is saying, work out your personal problems elsewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Stay off my radio with it. Taylor Swift was given an opportunity to do an op-ed piece for the Wall Street Journal, speaking of music news. And she was talking about how some artists give their music away to their fans via their website or free downloads in order to get the new music out there and get people to come see the concert. And she thinks that's a horrible idea.
Well, then she doesn't have to do it.
Because, this is a great quote, music is art, and art is important and rare. And important and rare things are valuable, and valuable things should be paid for. Is this like a fifth grader writing a report on art? It's my opinion that music should not be free. And my prediction is that individual artists and labels will someday decide what an album's price point is. I hope they don't underestimate themselves or undervalue their art.
Hmm.
So don't expect anything free from Taylor Swift anytime soon.
I mean, it has been a huge sea change as far as people buying music. It used to be if you made a great album, you would be rich forever.
Yeah.
Now you make all of your money on touring and almost none of it on sales.
Right. The music industry is suffering when it comes to sales. We all know that. But she believes fiercely that her art has value. But apparently not other people's art. The continuing story of the lawsuit of Lucky 13, the clothing line.
Oh, right.
Against Taylor Swift is a brand new wrinkle to this suit. Taylor Swift got together with American Greetings, the greeting card company, and launched a Lucky 13 contest where if you entered this contest, you would get Lucky 13 greeting cards and posters and stickers from Taylor Swift.
What's wrong with her?
Here's the problem. She doesn't seem to understand. She doesn't own Lucky 13. There's a Lucky13.com. Go there. There's a company there. It's been there for a long time.
Yeah, that's my point. It's not like it just came about the same time as she did. It's been around.
Stop using their name. They're suing her yet again in another lawsuit.
Good Lord.
What an idiot.
Now they're suing American Greetings Corporation as well for participating in the contest, the Lucky 13 greeting card contest. Here's the funny thing is that American Greeting Card has had several lawsuits protecting their trademarks. They've owned Strawberry Shortcake and the Care Bears and stuff. Those are their brands. And they've sued a lot of people for intellectual property rights.
So they should know?
But they should, maybe they should consider that other people have that same thing going on. So Lucky 13 once again suing Taylor Swift. It's just someone that we listen to must know her or know someone connected to her. Just tell her that exists already.
No, don't. Stop it. You're trying to help her.
You want to drive her into bankruptcy?
Yes.
She's a bitch.
Yeah, she is a bitch. Today's celebrity birthday is Jeffrey Tambor is 70 years old today. Angelica Houston, 63. Kevin Bacon turns 56. Billy Crudup, he's 46 years old. Michael Weatherly of NCIS is 46 as well. Beck turns 44. Milo Ventimiglia is 37. Robbie Keane of the LA Galaxy.
Oh! I do like him.
He's 34. Sophia Bush is 32. And Toby Keith, country singer Toby Keith, is 53 years old today. I wonder how he's going to celebrate.
Renzo Loca.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I fill you up.
Yeah.
Let's have a party.
Yeah.
Sing it if you
don't. Let's have a party.
That's a song.
That is a song. By the way, a huge hit.
Pass that red Solo cup over here, Toby. I'd like to fill it up for you and give you something for your birthday. Big birthday toast. I got something to fill up that cup for you. I've done it before, right in the middle of an audience at a concert once.
Oh, sweet.
Filled up a Solo cup. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Can't tell you what a relief it is that Kevin Egan's back.
Wow. So, these are amazing.
Such good news.
These are just fabulous.
For me, we're having such a good time. I know the 4th of July was last, what was it, Friday?
Mm-hmm.
But I just found this song. I think somebody tweeted it to me, and I apologize because I don't remember who. I'd like to give you credit, but I don't remember who. But the new song about the 4th of July is not good. And it's not good to the level of, I love it.
It's so great.
It's great.
Yeah.
Because it's really not good.
Yeah.
You think about Halloween, they have songs. Christmas has a ton of songs. 4th of July, not so many.
Not really at all.
Although I do believe this song might be, you know, the song of the future for the 4th of July for probably the next 100 years. Done by Rosa G., in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it's a real person or not, or if this is a joke or not. If it's a joke, well done. If it's not a joke, well done.
Exactly.
I like it either way. It's one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
Incredible. It's the time of the year again. July 4th is here. Let's start. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. The neighborhood's grilling, chilling outside. Can you feel it? Is that summer glory when I get to celebrate USA's story? Turn up and day's just starting. I brought a picnic, this cheese is Havarti. It's a holiday, our nation's birthday. Red, white, and blue all over the place. It's so hot, I can't believe it. An ice cold drink, you're gonna need it. But I'm fresh, I'm looking real mean. Blocking UV SPF 15. Paper plates with patriotic doodles. Wave a tiny flag for my pool noodle.
This is crazy.
It's the best.
It's really something. She wrote all of this out, clearly.
She's painting a picture for me.
She is.
Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Sip my soda on the 4th of July. 4th of July.
Here's my favorite part.
4th of July.
Everybody.
4th of July.
4th of July.
Friends crowd the grill. I know why. Burgers smell delicious. I can't pass by. You take my bun. I'll take yours. Anyone know who brought these fruit skewers? Check my t-shirt. There's an eagle on it. I love the 4th. And you can bet on it. Ask my cousin. Ask my aunt. I'm my third cousin. He never fronts. Pledge allegiance to fun in the sun. I'm proud to be American. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. I do it up. On the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Love the 4th of July. Love the fireworks. Got me pipping hard to the sky. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4th of July. Can I just say it's been a good day? Real quick, shout to mama. July 4th is second to nada. Walking home with an empanada. 4th of July. 4th of July. 4444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444444
104.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
I'm just saying, no bean and no beer mug. Just shows you the kind of world we could be living in. it's like a little glimpse into an alternate universe.
And one that you would prefer?
Go, what? Over there, they have that? It's like Fringe when you go across the bridge. Live like this? We're over here all trapped in amber. With the breathing and the clicking and the beer mug with the eating. And the poop emergency.
Which he has, I'd say, 5 times a day.
And that's not being facetious.
Yeah, and when we say a day, we mean 5 to 10 a.m.
A show.
We don't mean all day.
He disappears.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just look around. We could be living in this world. It could happen.
This is a world that could exist?
That's right. You've got to believe, man. Hope. Change.
Sure.
Whatever else Obama said when he was running.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about show business. Michelle Rodriguez, she looks like a party in a box, doesn't she?
She sure does, that is.
She likes to have a good time. She, of course, was famously dating supermodel Cara Delevingne, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Just weeks ago, they were making out at basketball games and hanging out and doing all kinds of girly girl things.
Sure.
that relationship is over. But apparently, according to PerezHilton.com, Michelle Rodriguez from Fast and Furious has a new love interest. She's been spotted kissing Zac Efron while on vacation in Sardinia.
Huh. Was he going, ew?
At least she's staying with women. Apparently that's still her. See, because...
Oh! See, because he's...
Oh, how does he do it? Clint Eastwood's pretty hip. For 84. Yeah, he's still making movies. He's out there. He's doing stuff. But I get the sense he is not too up to date with the social media lingo. National Enquirer reports that an excited fan met him in New York City and begged for a photo, which he agreed to take. Then she started throwing around the term selfie, and Clint got all nervous.
Because?
He didn't know what it was.
Oh.
But he flat out refused to play along with her nonsense. Whatever that was, he wasn't in for it.
But isn't it easy enough to say?
I don't want to know. I don't know what it is. I don't want to be any part of it. Selfie. Sounds like something having to do with masturbation, and I'm not getting involved.
But couldn't she just
backed away?
I take a picture of my...
No, no!
What?
I don't want to hear it.
The hell?
Just got scared and ran down the street.
What's happening?
What did he want to have happen? A guy set up one of those cameras on a tripod with a big pot of flammable powder? It goes off, and they have to stand real still for a minute, and no one can smile. Like the Old West.
I don't know. That's a weird thing to really not even follow up. What is it? Because it's so simple and easy to explain.
He got nervous.
Wow.
And then he shot her.
I don't.
He did. With a .44 Magnum.
No. Nope.
Powerful handgun in the wheel.
That's,
could blow her head clean off.
That's just a movie.
And all the excitement, she was probably asking herself, did he fire 5 shots
nope.
or 6?
Just a movie.
Well, she had asked herself a question.
Nope. Dirty Harry.
Did she feel lucky?
Is it Dirty Harry?
Well, did she? Yes, Kevin.
Okay, good.
Yes, God bless you.
Wasn't positive.
I know you're not well. I know you're jet-lagged and you've got the,
sick.
Brazilian AIDS or
I
whatever it is
that.
You're suffering from. But you're coming up with some stuff this week, unlike anything I've ever heard from you before. So something's going on.
I need to go back to Brazil once a month.
Maybe some earwig got inside your brain or something in the Amazon, and it's eating away all the bad brain, leaving all the good.
I take it, then. Doesn't help with that photo. Doesn't take that back.
By the way, if you know what we're talking about, go online. Is it on the krock.com, or do we have it there yet?
I don't know. I know it's on Twitter, but I don't know if it's on
You can see it on Kevin's Twitter feed, at Kevin Ryder. Or is it at KRock?
At the Kevin Ryder.
At the Kevin Ryder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, it's great.
Here is a movie promotional stunt that I can get behind. I often, in the other room, you'll find me bitching and moaning about the fact that we get delivered on a regular basis here at the Kevin and Bean Show boxes and boxes of seemingly expensive crap.
Yeah, it really is crap, and it doesn't make you like the movie or whatever they're promoting.
Studios will send you. We got a new movie coming out. Here is a glass vase with the name of the movie etched into it, and inside that is gold dust. And they just spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on these promotional items that just don't make me want to see the movie. And I think what a waste! Take all that money and spend it on some independent film that you could make with all that cash. Well, this is a promotional stunt I can get behind. There is a new documentary about the new Colorado pot laws called Mile High, The Comeback of Cannabis. And so Adam Hartle, one of the co-directors of the film, is going to be standing outside of movie theaters handing out a small amount of legal marijuana to anyone over 21 with a valid ID to take home to enjoy responsibly. If they stay and check out the movie, they get a little bonus. They get a little something-something. He'll be standing outside of 2 Colorado theaters running the films this week for the stunt. Wouldn't that make you want to go inside and see a documentary
if
you got some free pot out of it?
I'd see any movie for that.
It's very smart.
I'd see Transformers for that.
Kevin's house. And Jack White's at it again, digging into his archives. The next release in his Third Man Records vault package will be a 2-LP vinyl set called Live Under the Lights of the Rising Sun, featuring the White Stripes, recorded live in Tokyo back in October of 2000. The colored vinyl set will have 2 complete concerts from that run when he was there in Japan. The album will ship to paid-up members of the Vault Club, part of his Third Man Records, in September. And you have until July 31st to join that club. It's the only way to get you can get that release. So you have to go to Third Man Records' website and sign up for the Vault Club, and then you will get this 2-LP package in vinyl that is colored vinyl. And I'm sure there's some secret message buried inside of it, and you have to break open the record to find a key that takes you to a safety deposit box, and inside there is
one of Jack's fingers, and then you have to sew it back on, and then he'll type you a message. And it gets very tricky.
I got to tell you, we did the breakfast with Jack White, and there are a lot of people, a lot of musicians who feel like they're not interesting enough, so they have to act crazy or weird or eccentric or whatever. They have to put on an interesting personality. He's crazy.
He's a genius.
But in a good way. He's a genuine genius, crazy person.
Yes.
And you love being around him because it really is real, and it really is so much smarter and more creative, and he's an amazing dude.
Yeah, his insanity comes strictly from a place of creativity and wanting to do something interesting. So.
It's fascinating.
Take that for what it's worth. And Sarah Palin wants to be on The View.
I say put her on right now.
Do you?
Wouldn't you like to, I mean, I'm not going to watch, but wouldn't you like to sound clips of her putting her foot in her mouth all day long? I mean, come on.
Whoopi Goldberg and her screaming at each other for an hour.
Right, but you don't watch it anyway, so we just get the highlights of it.
I guess that's true. Here's what she said to The Hollywood Reporter. I heard everyone recently got canned from The View. Maybe a show like that needs a punch of reality and a voice of reason from America's heartland to knock some humble sense into their scripts, she said. You know, someone willing to go rogue. We need Sarah to give us some sense.
We do.
Just put us right on the right path again.
Not to sound like an idiot, but America's heartland.
A lot of idiots in America's heartland.
No, but doesn't that refer to basically the Midwest?
Yeah, I think that's what's usually considered the heartland of America.
Okay. Back to you.
You're saying she's from Alaska? Maybe she's not in the heartland?
I'm saying maybe clarification there. She is from Alaska.
I think what she's saying is her values, her point of view represents the real America, not the liberal elite, not the left-wing media.
Here's what I know. She's the female me, and you don't want to be that.
It's terrifying on every level. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sophia Bush is 32 years old today. Soccer player Robbie Keane from the LA Galaxy. Kevin loves him. He's 34 years old. Was he part of this World Cup nonsense?
He plays for Ireland.
Yeah, he does.
I don't think they made the final 32.
I think I would have heard about it if they had while I was over there. I don't remember anyone mentioning it, so I'm guessing not. He's 34 years old. By the way, you know, we were talking about all the poop smell here at K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided, in honor of all the football mania that's going around the world, we're going to start calling this building the Fecal World Cup.
Okay. It doesn't quite have the ring to it.
The FIFA World Cup, the Fecal World Cup.
I like it.
Beck Hansen's 44 years old. Milo Ventimiglia is 37 years old. Michael Weatherly from NCIS is 46. Billy Crudup is 46 as well. Kevin Bacon turns 56. He's one of those unnatural bastards, that Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
56. He's pushing 60.
Yeah.
You see him on The Fallon. He looks like he's about 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Bastard.
He looks better now than I ever did in my entire life, including childhood.
He refuses to age. Angelica Houston, 63. Jeffrey Tambor turns 70 years old. And country singer Toby Keith is 53 years old today. Let we all raise a toast to country singer Toby Keith with our Red Solo Cups.
Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
Someone's calling.
Do you remember when that song first came out? And
I forget?
You were outraged beyond words.
I was infuriated.
And then it became a huge hit.
Yes. Look, I've always said, give me 2 days and a band and a recording studio, and I could record a country hit.
I want you to try.
I'm telling you.
I'm down with that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'll play the cowbell.
Oh, right.
I can rock
you're
that.
In the band.
That's right. Worst lines from Transformers Age of Extinction. I think we're going to do tomorrow.
Wow.
Do we have enough show?
That's a tough choice, right?
Are
we running commercial free tomorrow?
I went to that movie, and, you know, my mind, I can't remember anything, so I would go, oh, I got to remember that one. And then so another one would come. There were so many good horrible lines in that movie.
It's like, thanks for that info, Bean. You're trying to jot it down
and
as you
I couldn't.
Went along.
Yeah. So we'll take your calls on that. It's great. That's a good sequel. Rosa G, I believe, will be on the show tomorrow, 4th of July singer.
Yes.
What?
I believe.
The artist who gave us the 4th of July song?
That's correct.
It's pretty magical.
Director Eli Roth in studio tomorrow.
But Hemlock Grove thing
Hemlock
he's got going on is...
I have not seen that.
He's got a lot of terrifying stuff happening right now. He's a creative guy.
I love that. And Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Also, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.